Don't be too impressed by the fact that I've got a presentation. Actually, it's recycled from an internal learning fair we had at college a couple of weeks ago. So I haven't put hours and hours into preparation of the presentation. So something very down to earth, completely different from what I've just been hearing about, nothing on a global scale. Just really three ideas and experiments that we've been carrying out in the last year in our A-level teaching at Hills Road, teaching A-level computing, needless to say. So those are three things. The first one is basically just group work, some ideas on group work and how we've implemented that, and it's been pretty successful. Second one is a sort of very modest experiment in flipped teaching, trying to get students to work, do the work before the lessons so we can free up time in the lessons for practical work. And then the third one, using blogs to support project work. So it's particularly of interest, obviously, to A-level computing teachers, but I'm sure relevant to upcoming GCSE as well. So we're always being encouraged to do more group work. Senior managers and inspectors seem to like group work. I've always had a sort of vague aspiration that I ought to do more group work, but never really got around to doing anything about it. So this year I thought, the only way to do it is to make myself do it, go for sort of big bang approach, really. These are all the reasons for doing it. I'm not going to talk through them all. So the big bang approach was very simple. At the very first lesson of the very first day of the course, students come into their into the computing classroom, 20 students. They don't know any each other. They're from 15 or 20 different schools, so they're complete strangers to each other. They all sit down, and I immediately make them stand up again. So this is what I did last September. Stand up, sort yourselves into alphabetical order, which led, of course, to an interesting discussion later about sorting algorithms. That was sort of incidental to this, really. So they sat there in alphabetical order, sorted themselves out, and I just numbered them off around the room, groups of three, perhaps a group or two of four if the numbers didn't work out. Said, right, these are your thinking triangles. I came up with a cheesy name for it, and a cheesy logo, as you can see as well, so an icon. And straight away gave them a problem to solve. And that sort of set the tone for the whole year, really. So whenever I wanted them to do some usually problem-solving algorithm development work, got into the triangles, and they discussed it together and usually reported back, of course, to the class. And that was, so it's a very simple idea, but the surprising thing was it worked. I think one of the reasons it worked is because it was sort of very sort of heavily flagged. It was very explicit. So I used my cheesy icon on presentations like this and in printed materials as well. So every time that they were, so it's all pre-planned. So that was the only way I was going to do it. Just sort of relying on myself to think, oh, I better do a bit of group work today. That doesn't work for me. So it was all in the course from the start. And it worked extremely well. And I was quite surprised. I wish I'd done it years ago, really. So nothing very original, but I do recommend you do try something like that. It really does improve their problem solving if they work together in groups as much as possible. And it's quite interesting because we started off very explicitly for algorithm development, but it's sort of spread automatically into other parts of the course. What I'd find is that if we sort of posed a question, sort of threw a question into the air in any lesson, they'd automatically get together into their triangles and work on it. It just became a habit for them. So it was definitely well worth doing. And they've stuck to it. I mean, I taught both sets this morning, actually, so now it's 9 months since they're originally put into these groups. Most of them are still sitting in the same place in the classroom every lesson, still sitting in their triangle, still working with the same people they've been working with all year, which I must admit, I didn't really expect it to last that long, but it's sort of become a natural part of the way we work now. And I think the fact that it was very explicit and upfront, you know, helped. So I think that's the key to success with group work, really. Don't just rely on thinking about doing it on the spur of the moment. Build it into the course. And certainly sort of feedback from the students, you know, they found it extremely helpful. They really like doing it. It's been very popular. So that's the first one. I'll probably go for 2 minutes. But second one's, I think, maybe a bit more radical, but not really. And this was inspired by Quinton Cutt's talk last year about flip teaching. I think he'd been to California and on a sabbatical and seen that sort of style of teaching working there. So I decided that this seemed like a good idea. So just tried the same thing in a very modest way in my programming lessons. This is the sort of traditional approach which a lot of you are familiar with. You spend half the lesson blathering on about this is how you do a for loop. You introduce some new concepts, some new technique, and then you realise, oh, there's only 20 minutes left. We better get them onto the computers. And they start something, and they're halfway through it, and then you say, finish it for homework, or you set them a task to do for homework, and they all go away, and half of them do it fine, and the other half just fail miserably. And they come back and say, I couldn't do it, or even worse, they probably just copy somebody else's. So decided that get rid of that method altogether. So again, made it very structured it into the course, built it into the course, so that in the booklet I use for teaching programming, there are explicit set tasks for homework. So for homework, they read something, do some written work as well, some simple exercises, just to make sure they've done it, and to make sure it's not just, if you just say read something, they don't do it, we all know that. So there was always something for them to bring back next lesson, just to complete, not programming, purely pencil and paper work. Start of the lesson, spend no more than 10 minutes reviewing that, answer any questions. You'd have to mark it, you just get and say, get your booklets out, and you can just sort of wander around the room and see that they've done it. And then within 15, 20 minutes of the lesson starting, they're onto the computers. So there's much more lesson time spent on the programming, which is where they need the help. So they're doing the programming supported by the teacher, supported by each other in their triangles. And I took it to the extreme deliberately. I decided that I was not going to set them any programming for homework at all. They were never, in the whole year, required to program at home. Many of them did, of course, the enthusiastic, the keen, the more able ones do anyway. But the strugglers, the weaker ones, the less motivated, were always able to do the programming in the lesson with me and their peers there to help them. So by the end of the year, not once have I actually said, do this, write a program for homework. All the programming was, the minimum requirement at least was they were able to do in the lessons. And again, it really did work because, so that's just an example of a page in the booklet, homework task, read this, here's some a little self-test and try it and bring on next lesson. Again, they like it, they felt it was successful. And I certainly feel that I've been able to spend much more time helping students with their programming. They help each other much more. And a key thing is I've just got to know them much better. Very quickly, I was able to identify which students were going to struggle, which ones are going to need help in the lessons, and give them that extra help.
1 minute.
Yeah, well, that's the end of that one. And the final one, 1 minute left. If you're doing project work, and it will be if you're doing A-level computing, I don't know if everybody hates it, but we certainly hate it. We've always found it the most problematic part of the course. A lot of the students don't like it. They don't like doing coursework. A lot of them are very poor at technical writing, which is largely what the content of the course is. We've always found that our marks are relatively low in the coursework. In the exams, our students are virtually the highest marks in the country. Coursework, they're a little bit above the national average. That's all. We've always found that to be the case. And what we've done for the last couple of years is simply get them to write a blog to not in any way assess, but just get them to reflect on what they've done each lesson, because continuity between lessons is a real problem with practical work. They spend the first half of the lesson trying to remember what they were doing last time. So get them to reflect on what they've done, sort of write down what they want to do next, and just sort of aid, the sort of get them to think really about what they're doing. That's the key aim. And they hate doing it, because they don't like writing, but they'd rather write in their blogs than they would write on paper, I think. But I do think for some of them it's been very valuable. Seeing the quality of what some of them have written has been really good. But it's not a sort of universal success. A quarter of the students just refuse to do it, pretty much. But I don't put pressure on them, because it's not assessed anyway. So that's it. Three sort of quick ideas on that you might be able to use in your own teaching. Thank you.
Thank you.